Good morning, everyone. I had forgotten that it was Memorial Day weekend. So I don't have a special picture up here or anything like that. But I did want to take just a second just to recognize those who have served in the military and have given some of themselves for just the freedom of our country. So if you've served in the military, could you please stand up so we can just recognize you? We appreciate you. Father in heaven, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are standing here right now, as they have given some of their life for the benefit of others. Lord, I thank you for that ministry. Lord, would you minister to them right now, as I'm sure that there are many things that they have gone through that they still hold on to and still have a part of them. I pray that you would bring freedom and rest and that you would be their joy. And we think about those, Lord, who have died. Thank you, Lord, that they gave their life for us. And you said there is no greater love than he who lays his life down for his friend. We thank you for being our perfect example. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. A couple other thanks. We had a memorial service on Thursday here, and it was a pretty packed house. Ministering to the Crabtree family, who Liza Crabtree ended up passing away. And I don't know how many of you know Liza, but the Crabtree family is well established here in Granite Falls. And so it was a big turnout and just a big loss for our community. She was a pretty neat lady. But some of you came out or gave cookies, and the family didn't even ask for that. And I just appreciate you loving them in that way. So thank you for that. And also, I want to thank you for those that came out and started painting our house on the inside. You used the wrong paint, so it's not the color it's supposed to be. So you'll have to come out next week. And just teasing. I haven't been out there to see how y'all did, but what you were doing looked great. So thank you for giving of your time and helping our family this week. Appreciate you. This week, Kim and I are actually going to be heading down to the Christian Missionary Alliance General Council, which is just so happens to be in Long Beach, California. For some reason, I believe I'm supposed to be there this year. I tried to set it aside, but it just kept coming up. So we're going to head on down there. So I'd appreciate your prayers. As you know that I'm continually seeking clarity and discerning God's voice and his call for this church and for my life. So I won't be here. And we didn't get a chance to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary just because of the outfall and moving out of our house and into the basement of our in-laws. And so we're going to, while we're down there, right after we do council, we're going to jump over to Las Vegas to go to the Grand Canyon. So we've never done that before. So I'll be actually gone for 2 weeks. So thank you for letting me go, like you really have a say in it. No, I just appreciate it. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, and Lord, for the Spirit of Christ that indwells each of our hearts. You're the reason why we're here. It's not because of a speaker or because of a band that plays. It's because of you. Lord, you're the one that we need desperately. And Lord, as we learn how to figure out how to be a church together, a body of people that are learning to genuinely love one another and to encourage each other, and even at times lovingly rebuke one another, I pray, God, that you would have your way with us. I believe that the only thing that can get in the way is pride. And you said you're opposed to the proud. So make us humble. So give us ears this morning to hear your voice. Remind us of the truths. Sow them in our heart in such a way that we would receive them with humility implanted in our souls. Transform us from the inside out. I pray for also the Crabtree family, for that crowd that was here that heard the gospel. I'm praying that that truth would continue to ring in their ears, and that your seed would take root. How I pray, God, that they would come to Christ. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Last week, I shared with you that I believe that I'm in a time of transition. But in many ways, this church is in a time of transition. Remember when we all went out to Chinese food a couple weeks ago, and remember when that old guy walked up and gave us that cookie? Remember that? And we all grabbed for the cookie and we opened it up, and it actually said, transitions in your future. Remember when that happened? You're thinking, what? I don't remember that. Because it didn't happen. That was a joke. It was a made-up story last week, too. Whatever. It's just not a very good joke. Last week, I talked about just the importance of knowing who you are and how extremely necessary that is, especially when you go through times of transition. The greater transition, the more you really, really need to understand who you are in Christ, what is your purpose. The other alternative really is to lose your identity. Because whatever's happening in your life just kind of takes over, and you just kind of go, you're tossed here and there by your emotions and so on and so forth. For these past 2 years, I believe God's been trying to communicate to me that you need to know who you are in me. And I showed you a bunch of questions that I have that go through my mind now. Who am I? What has God called and gifted me to do? Am I doing what God has called and gifted me to do? What is God doing in my life right now? And what adjustments do I need to make to obey God's call? And remember, we looked at Peter and how God shows us who we are by basically giving us a clearer glimpse of who he is. And oftentimes, what he's dealing with us, what he's trying to eradicate out of us, is fear, our fear, fear that would get our eyes off of the fear of the Lord. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but when the fear of the Lord is not there and instead another fear replaces that, you will bow down to whatever you fear. So if you fear man, then you end up bowing down to man rather than bowing down to the God in whom you're supposed to fear. And God also is dealing with our pride. That really is the one element within our midst that can totally derail a church. When we refuse to listen to one another, when we refuse to deal with sin, when we think that our justification is greater than what the Word of God clearly states, then we're in deep trouble. So remember Peter's fear, where Jesus is walking on the water. He says, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." But then remember what happened with Peter. It says, "But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" And this is such a great illustration, because he was looking at the one in whom he should be fearing. He was looking at the one who was controlling the elements. But yet when the wind came, that is what caused him to fear. And Jesus says, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" And so when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him. "You certainly are the Son of God." And remember when Jesus dealt with Peter's pride, when he said, "Will you lay your life down for me, Peter? Truly I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." When this incident happened, Peter just went out, wept bitterly. He could not believe what he had done. He had come face to face with his greatest fear and his greatest weakness. And I can guarantee you that this was the lowest point in his life. But then he experienced something. He experienced a resurrected Christ who restored him and asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And asked him three times, just encouraging him. And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep." I've stated in the past that when Jesus asks you, "Do you love me?" and we say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he always gives you a task to do. "If you love me, now go and make disciples. If you love me, now deal with that sin in your life. When you love me, go love your neighbor as yourself." But for Peter, in this incident, Jesus took it one step further and explained to Peter that he was going to die. And then he said, "Follow me." And Peter did. He followed him. And that's what happens when you come in contact, when you encounter the risen Christ. Your life will be changed. He will call you to do things that are beyond your own ability. He will bring trials into your life that will squeeze you, all of your strength and power out of you, so that you will trust him more. And you can either resist that or you can give in to it. Remember Jesus said, "All who are weak and heavy laden, I give you, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart." That idea of being gentle is not, it's not disputing with God or resisting God in the midst of a trial. It's learning to give thanks and saying, "What do you want me to do now? Once again, I am face to face with my limitations. Praise God. How can you get me out of this? Help me to get my eyes on you. Help me not to be fearful of the wind and the waves, since you're the one that controls them." So he's teaching all of us. And I think that we need each other a lot more than we think we need one another. He created the body of Christ. He created one body to be interdependent on one another. And if we're asking God to do a mighty work in this church, I can guarantee you that that is what he's going to tackle, is our independent, prideful spirit. So, really, together we are in a time of transition. And remember this model that we looked at last week, where Henry Blackaby came up with it as he wrote the book Experiencing God. And I'm going to ask you a couple questions. And you're actually going to answer. Because if God wants you to speak, I trust that you will speak this morning. And so I'm just giving you a heads up. But like with all of us, God, first of all, we need to understand he is always at work around us. He is working in the lives of your coworkers, those you go to school with, those who you rub shoulders with down at the grocery store. God is at work all around. It really is up to us to slow down and pay attention and say, Lord, where are you working? You know that that's how Jesus did it? Father, where are you working? Remember, he was even critiqued for working on the Sabbath, and Jesus really, he had no other answer. My Father's working. Therefore, I join him in what he's doing. The Christian life is actually quite simple. It's listening to the voice of God and paying attention to what he's doing around you and participating in it. And in so doing, you experience God even more. Number two, God pursues a continuing loving relationship with you that is real and personal. There truly is a God in heaven who is a father, who his ear is bent towards hearing and his eyes are bent towards seeing his righteous ones. And because he's protecting us like this, like a mother hen, we can move to and fro in great confidence, knowing that nothing's going to happen to us that is beyond his power or ability. He's just asking us to be faithful. Trust me, I'm right here. That love relationship, like Odell was talking about this morning, we have no idea what it means that we have God's righteousness. I mean, we understand it in a sense that our sins are now washed away, but to have his righteousness now, it's just an amazing concept and will revolutionize your whole life. Number three, God now invites you to become involved with him and his work. We have a love relationship with God, and so no wonder he says, now come on, I want you to join me in what I'm doing. And then number four, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through prayer and the Bible, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself and his purposes and his ways. And that's why I'm going to ask you a few questions today. Because I think that God wants to speak through some of you. He doesn't speak just through the pastor. If you have the Spirit of God, then he will speak through you. And we all need to hear it. Number five, God's invitation for you to work with him will always lead you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. In other words, when we hear the voice of God, normally our first response is, you want me to do what? And that brings us to a crisis of belief. I don't know if I've ever told this story in here, but the morning in which God woke me up to go over to Jim Haverfield's house, sorry, Dad, and he said, I want you to go talk to your father-in-law. And by this time, I had talked to him on different occasions, and he had always given me the cold shoulder. I remember one time I was sitting, he was sitting in his garage, and I came down, sat next to him, and I said, so what do you think about the person of Jesus Christ? And I know he acted like he didn't hear me. And I don't know if you remember what your response was, Dad, and I know you want to bring glory to God now, but he just said, my seat's getting hard, And he got up and left. So God is waking me up and he says, now I want you to go over to Jim Harrifield's house now and you tell him the gospel. And so I said, what? You want me to do what? If I do that at this time of the day, which he would have had, he would have probably already been up for a couple hours anyway at 3, because he wakes up early. I'm pretty sure that my relationship with him is going to be in some jeopardy. So I laid there, and I tossed and I turned. That just couldn't be the voice of God. And so I looked at the alarm clock. There was a light on the ceiling that told me what time it was. You know, those laser lights. I don't know if you ever had one of those before. I said, okay, God, if that was you that was speaking to me, I want you to make that those numbers say the word go. And that's when he whispered in my ear, I have already told you to go. I've already told you. So I said, okay, I'll go. And I went, knocked on the door. He met me at the door. We went in. I gave the worst gospel presentation anybody has ever given. And God had already been working on his heart. God is asking us to do things that are beyond us. He just wants us to join him. But it will always test our limitations. So there's a crisis of belief. And then you got to make that adjustment, number 6. Adjustment. Is there an adjustment that I have to make? Do I have to turn away from that sin? Is there adjustment that I have to make? Is there something I need to repent of? Or is there adjustment that I need to make in where the thing, how I'm doing things right now, he's wanting me to do something different? Adjustments can come in all sorts of different ways. And I believe that as a church, we need to make some adjustments. Because I don't think we're running on all cylinders. And I'll tell you why here in a little bit. So there's always that adjustment to join God in what he's doing. And then number 7, when we're willing to enter into that relationship, we hear his invitation, we hear his voice, we have that crisis of belief, we're willing to make that adjustment, then we obey God and we experience God in new ways. So here's my question. If it's true that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways, my question to you is, what is God doing in our midst? The reason why I'm asking you to answer these questions for me is because, quite frankly, I feel somewhat aloof from this congregation. And it's no fault of your own. It's because of the circumstances that I find myself in. And my family has needed me a lot more in these past couple years. I believe that I've made some mistakes in the past. One in particular was the mistake to enter into the outreach ministry with the cafe. There was something within me that wanted that. Understanding something about myself is this. Sometimes I care for the lost more than I care for God's people. That's a confession of mine. And I treated my wife like that too. If I was in a conversation with somebody and I had the opportunity to present the gospel to them, but I'm late for dinner and I already told my wife that I would be there, she's already saved. And that got me in a lot of trouble. Because God has called us to be men of our word. If we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. And it hurt my wife a lot. I told her that I would just kind of help get this ministry off the ground, and then I would just pull back. As a matter of fact, the churches were merging at that time. I didn't have Doug Riley giving me counsel at that time, so I knew I was going to get in trouble. And so this ministry starts, and things are going pretty good for a while. And the more I tasted of it, the more I was in the community, the more I was rubbing shoulders with the lost, the more I was like, this is where I need to be. I even thought about setting up my office in the cafe. But then I found myself getting more and more involved, something that I said that I wouldn't do. And that hurt my wife. So it's no wonder. It's like God took his hand off of it, and the ship started going down, and being the good leader that I wanted to be, I went down with the ship. Actually, it was you that went down with it, right, Bob? You put a lot of time. We wanted to see it to the very end, hoping that maybe God will resurrect it at the end. But he didn't. I've learned a lot since then. But there's still a fire within me for the lost. And so when I think about adjustments, I think about, so what does that mean for me to be a pastor? But don't get me wrong, I love God's people. My pull is just to be on the front lines and furthering the kingdom of God. Pastor Ken's job is to pick up all of the responsibility of God's people in teaching and instructing. If I'm going to teach and instruct, it probably my longing would be for evangelism, to teach you and train you how to reach your neighbors and your friends, those who are lost. So because my wife became sick, I had to withdraw somewhat. And basically my responsibilities have been just to counsel a few during the week and to prepare a sermon. And poor Pastor Ken, he's picked up pretty much everything else. And that's not fair to him, and it's not fair to the church. In some ways, I feel like I'm robbing the church. So I want to be totally candid and totally lay it out on the table and ask, what is God doing in our midst? I noticed that once I stepped back and paid attention more to my family, something incredibly beautiful happened. I saw the body of Christ begin to be the body of Christ. And I wasn't the one that had to do everything. And there's something incredibly powerful about that. It's kind of sad to think that I actually had to be removed before the church began to flourish. So as we think together, do you see God doing anything in our midst? And if so, would you mind sharing that with the rest of us so we can be encouraged? And if you'd like to share something, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll bring over the mic to you. My leg's actually feeling pretty good today, so I'm looking forward to trying it out. Justin, can we get this one on? Is this the dead one? Nice. Thank you, Dustin.
I see God moving in our midst. I was amazed, I have to say, very surprised when we started the all-church prayer. How many people stayed? I didn't expect very many people to stay. I'm sorry. apologize for that negative attitude.
We'll deal with joy later.
That first time we had all church prayer, so many people stayed and so many people prayed and so many people praised, and it was a comfort to me to know that we really do as a church have a heart for prayer and for seeking God first and planning things later. And the second thing, the way that I feel God's working in our midst, is the small group Bible studies. If you're not a part of that, I encourage you to join, because it's been an eye-opener to me how God is moving through the study of the Psalms. And the verse 18 in the Psalms 119 is just running through my mind. God, open my eyes. Let me see your work. Let me hide it in my heart. And I see others doing that as well.
Very good. Thank you, Joy. Anyone else like to share with the rest of us maybe what God's doing in your own life, how you've been encouraged? You can even say how you think things should change, because we need to talk about adjustment as well.
I have appreciated the women's breakfasts, because I was always jealous of the men getting to meet every month.
Mm. Jealousy. We'll deal with Bethany later.
I'm confessing. I think it's really nice that we can have that time to have our own devotion and discussion, and whether we do or do not bring our children, we can fellowship more closely. I've really enjoyed that. And I also love the idea of having people over for dinner and actually organizing that, because it's hard for us to all talk enough on Sundays. And I see people a lot, and I try to make a point to shake their hand and remember their name. But getting to sit over a meal really helps you get to know someone a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's been a real blessing to the church and opened up more relationships between people.
Very good. Thank you, Bethany.
Good. I see the Lord working in our women's Bible study. It's increased in number, and it's increased in understanding. And to me, that has been a special ministry for the women of our church. And I would encourage others who want to join, if they can't join it, to ask for discs or things on the study, to continue to study the Word of God.
Thank you, Sister. You know, this is exactly what I was expecting would happen. I don't know if you picked it up, but the last three, or the only three, who have spoken, what impacted them most was the relationships that were being built around, whether it's a small group or a women's study or a breakfast. And that is how we will become the church, is by participating more than just Sundays. Notice nobody said that the sermons are just fantastic. Thanks, Royce. Appreciate it. But really, that is where it's at. It's in understanding and truly being in one another's lives and being transparent.
What I've really appreciated and has encouraged me is watching some of my brothers who are being trained for the ministry. For I think of Michael, I think of Anson, who have stepped up to teach, and just those who are being trained and have a heart for ministry has been a huge encouragement to me.
Yeah, very good. You yourself included. God's raising up a younger generation, except for Anson, to end up just teasing. Anson's not here, right? Oh, sorry, there he is. It would have gotten back to him anyway, because he's a police officer, but yes. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, it's been a little over 4 years since I came to Christ. Before I did, I had a thought in my head that I needed alcohol every day, which I drank alcohol every day. The minute I came to Christ, he took me and made me a child of his. My want for alcohol went away, and it's never been back. And the love I have in my heart is love from God. It's way more than I ever had as a sinner, and I'm just so thankful.
Thanks for sharing, Dad. I am so glad I obeyed God that morning. Not that I obey him every time, just continues to amaze me.
Last fall, the deaconesses and other ladies of the church had it on their heart to prepare meals and put them in the freezer for parents of the daycare, or if I saw a need in the community of a family that needed a meal. And though it wasn't always the first thing on my mind, God always seemed to bring people around to that I needed to bless, and they were parents who were struggling with sick kids and who had been working, or they were not feeling well themselves, and they had to go home and make a meal, and we were able to bless them with a meal. And recently, one of the mothers that we were able to bless as a church was somebody whose child, 12-year-old, had committed suicide, and she's struggling. And we were able to help with meals for her so she wouldn't have to worry about that part of caring for her family.
Wow. Thank you, Becky.
Dan alluded to this, that he had to step back. But I've seen in churches where you have a strong leader, the congregation steps back and allows the pastor and the leadership do the work, and they tend to burn themselves out and trying to do God's work and not keeping the order of God first, then family, then work. As pastors, so many times they reverse the order, put their work, well, I'm doing God's work, so that comes first. God's work is a family relationship. And as a church, we become a family. And none of us are above the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do the work. And that's what I've seen through Dan stepping back. The church is stepping up as a family, supporting each other, supporting him as our pastor, and supporting Ken.
Thank you, brother. So you know you could have said it in a few words. That the weaker Dan or Pastor Dan becomes, the stronger the church becomes.
I've seen the same thing that God is teaching this church and the congregation to become a family and to step up and support each other. Pastor Dan's not the only one that's had huge challenges. We all have, a lot of us. And to watch the church and all of us come together and help each other out has been a huge blessing in my life, and hopefully others feel that too.
Yeah. Thanks, Jennifer. Oh, you're gonna keep me hopping.
I can't express in words really what I feel from this congregation. When we've been going through these hard times with John, difficult times, the first thing I thought about was, it was on a Wednesday when he went to the in the ambulance, I need to go to my women's Bible study and get prayer. So that's what I did. Before I knew it, somebody was driving my car for me to the hospital. And then we get to the hospital. People are there praying with us. Pastor Ken was there right away. I mean, it's just been, and several people from our group, congregation came by, and I couldn't have made it without this great congregation and the support and the love we feel. Thank you.
Did you have your hand up? Did you have your hand up?
No, Sandy.
You're going to make me come back to you, aren't you?
I think the key word for our family is family. And we don't have a long history here. We've only been attending since January. But what I've seen is my kids don't complain about coming to church anymore. And that was a huge thing, just getting out of the door. We're actually 30 minutes early today. So they didn't cry about that. And I've mentioned to you several times, this is real. I've been to a lot of plastic churches, a lot of Hollywood churches when I come. The word resonates a lot deeper than before. Mm. And that's hard to come by. And the scripture verse, which I don't know the address, that comes to mind is, God is made strong in our weakness. We see him more. When I come here, I know God's here.
Mm.
I leave fed. And that you really don't know how long we had search for a church. And if this is brokenness, it's perfect.
Mm. That's very encouraging.
You know, I think one of the key things that this church, that God has blessed us with, there are two pastors who love God with all their heart. And on one hand, you have the evangelist, and on the other hand, you have the discipler. But really, discipleship and evangelism are the same thing. So it's teaching others to follow Christ. And I think that's what our church does here. And to be able to listen to God and how he speaks, you have to be in relationship with him. And you have to do that. And that's what we do well here as a body of believers, is the relationship that we have with one another. And in that relationship, or out of that relationship, comes the invitation and learning to listen to God and how he speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, one of the key distinctives of our church.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Anyone else like to share something? Oh, good job. Thank you.
There's so many things I want to say, but you guys have said a lot of them, and I agree with everybody. The thing I see is that all those things are happening, but it's not all the same people. And so the people who ministered to Joanna aren't necessarily the same people who ministered to Jennifer or to you. And that means we don't have a committee that does those things. It's all of us. And I see all of us stepping up and saying, oh, this is a need that needs to be done. Why don't I just do it? And things are getting done that way. And I also see for you, Pastor Dan, you're growing and knowing who you are and what your gifts are, and that you don't have to do all the rest of the stuff.
Right.
Because there are people here who are gifted with those other things, and they're doing them. And that's exciting for me because, you know, in other churches that doesn't always happen.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Should we let Royce speak? Okay, can we take a vote? All in favor of Royce speaking?
Actually, I really was going to say that I know God is in our midst because of the sermons. And as I've been thinking and listening, everything that's coming out that we've heard here, I'm reminded that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And what has impacted me the most is that every Sunday and every Wednesday and every time the word is spoken, it's true. Mm. And that we've got leadership, not just our pastors, but our elders, that are men, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 men. And this is something that I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do I know that God is in our midst? And I've been to a few churches because it's being lived out. The word is being lived out.
Very good. Thanks, brother.
Since I've been here, the church had done everything a church should be, and the truth was coming forth, and I have grown again back to where I needed to be, and the Lord has drawn me, and I feel that this is my family, and I'm so thankful that the love I have felt here has just been so overwhelming to me, and it's keeping me, and I'm thankful for the Lord, for our pastors, and for the Lord bless them.
Thank you, sister.
First, I want to say thanks to the pastors. After all, you get up there and you work on your sermons because you got a message God gives you. There's a lot of studying, right? A lot of writing. And I've heard a lot, where you feel like it has to be said right. And I really feel like you talk from your heart. You definitely get the truth and the message from up high. But I also feel there's no intimidation here, and that's where I think a lot of the start of the family can warm up and live together, step in, help out, and I really, really want to thank the music department. I can't sing with things. And they turned the microphone off when I sang with the young girl at church. But you've involved so many people, and you see different faces. How absolutely wonderful. Nobody owns it. You teach it and you sing with love. It's great. You just feel really welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, sister.
You said your new leg was working a little better. I guess we'll make you improve it.
Yeah. It's feeling pretty good.
My wife and I are fairly new to the church here, and in the past we kind of had a rocky road with a church that we were going to, and we prayed together quite a while, and just asked God to show us a church that really loved the Lord, and the fact is I didn't really expect to find one, but boy, was I wrong. This is a wonderful place. The obviously the leadership is outstanding. And I have told you before, I love your sermons. But the congregation here too is just amazing to me. That there are so many folks here that are willing to step outside themselves and trust God, and put themselves out there in it. It really makes us feel at home here, and I think this church is coming together as a family, and I've never seen that before, and I think it's truly a wonderful thing to be part of.
Thank you, brother. I knew you were going to make me come back. You don't have a bee in your bonnet, do you?
I do.
Okay, go for it.
I just want to say I love what I'm hearing here, and we have not begun to see what God is going to do here.
I believe that.
I agree a little bit with Royce. We're here for one reason. We looked for a long time for a place because we were in a secret friendly church, and Ellen and I knew that God had something for us that couldn't be done where we were. And we looked at it, and we were so discouraged. We couldn't find a place to get Sandy. And of all the crazy things, a long process, but we heard Pastor Dan's sermon on the website. And we were here like a rocket. So don't downplay what you do here. But the love of God is what draws us together. And we have a rare thing here. We really do. And some of you know I have this crazy passion to fix this little church building. And it is not something because I like to do things, I like to build things. It's only because I have this vision for this church, and others do too. I see it. God is going to do amazing things. And the love of Christ is what's going to draw this thing. Not Dan's good preaching, not Ken's good teaching and discipling, as important as that is. It's God's Spirit in this place that's going to move things. And so that drives my crazy little passion. It's just, I see all our differences. Everybody is so different and so unique. And putting this building together is a part of that vision, I think, and making it be as good as it can be on this little spot here. I kind of lost track of what I was going to say. But I am so excited for what God is about to do. Oh, I got to say this. When you mentioned about your heart for evangelism and Ken's heart for discipleship, I think of John Wesley and George Whitfield, and some of you know the story. The greatest revival in Christian history was John Wesley and George Whitfield and Charles Wesley working together. And John Wesley was the discipler, and Whitfield was the evangelist. And Wesley preached to his thousands, and Whitfield preached to his tens of thousands. And John Wesley came behind George Whitfield and brought those people, those new converts, put them in their groups and discipled them and made them into mature Christians. And how our differences can work together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. We got time for maybe one more?
Of course. Finish with the ace in the hole right here.
One of the things that I see in the church is a purification process. And people that are willing to deal with sin, people that are willing to identify in their lives and wanting a desire to go deeper and be more real in their faith. And I know that's happening in my life, and I see it happening around me. And it's very encouraging. And as a shepherd, I feel that very strongly, a desire for the body to recognize what it is and to function as it should. So I know that we're moving in that direction in a really cool way. And I believe with all my heart that we are in a very special time in Granite Falls in this church right now. And I do believe that we are on the verge of something incredible. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet, but I'm really excited to be here and being a part of this church. That's it.
Thanks, brother. You brought it home well. You know, Dale mentioned something about we have to be able to address sin in one another's lives. I remember, we were getting to a point where we were, when it was Community Bible Church, and I was up here on this stage and trying to communicate to the congregation where I believe that God was moving us away from IGA, and we were talking about the merger, and I remember that talk, which was a little bit over the top. And some of you are nodding your heads. That week I came in to the sanctuary, and Dale was in here, and he was praying. I don't even know if you remember this. And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I don't know. There's just something about your attitude that's changed." And I'll never forget him addressing that in me. And it helped me to dial it down a notch, to listen to myself and how I'm coming across. We have to be willing to do that with one another and not get offended. Criticism needs to become our friend. Some of you like the sermons, but there's some that are out there that believe that 90% of what I preach is the same thing. That's what you'd expect from an evangelist. He's always going to go back to the gospel. So we have to be able to hear these things if we're going to grow. Well, we're not going to be able to get to our next question, which was, God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And my question is, what is our crisis of belief? What is God wanting us to believe together as his people that will cause us to enter into the next one, which is, what major adjustments is God asking us to make? And this is where I'm at, because things can't continue the way they are. I don't believe it's fair to this congregation, and I don't believe it's fair even to me, because God has gifted me a certain way. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What's interesting is, whether you know it or not, throughout church history, there has been different types of workers. Some that fall under this category of sodalic, or the other model, which is modalic. And sodalic are those who are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, that are always pushing into the world to further the kingdom of God. They're on the front lines. And then you have those who are pastors and teachers that are left behind to build up the body, so that the idea is kind of like a plant that begins to grow, and then it produces seeds. The seeds are the sodalic, so that they can plant other plants that will continue to grow, and that's how the church multiplies. I believe that God called me to move into a modalic ministry for a while, but I still have the heart of a sodalic. And so my question is, how does that look in a church? So as we consider these things together, I hope that we can have that conversation. Hugh Halter writes, whereas any church would love to see the balance of both the extension and retention of the church, the evangelistic and shepherding, the scattered and the gathered, the go and make disciples, the reality is that most churches have been stuck in purely modalic life. Church services, buildings, sermons, classes, small groups, Bible studies, worship, etc., tend to reflect what most people experience as church. It's all about the gathering. And although much good news comes from this, we miss the powerful conversion of our culture. Halter and others have pinpointed that if the church in general continues in a modalic mode, that is, that basically people are basically saved by when you bring people into the church, he said the church will die out within 2020 or something like that, because of the rate in which the church is decreasing in our nation. And what they pointed out is that there's the absence of those who are sodalic. Those are who are raised up for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. They would have us believe that there's a sodalic in each one of us. And if you continue with that mentality, you can imagine the incredible force that the church would have upon the world, when everyone would be built up for the sole reason to reach out. Can you imagine what a church service would be like if you truly believed that you are on mission all week long? Then when we gathered, it would be with celebration, rather than looking at the church service as the main thing. Because it's not a program. It's not a performance. So those are kind of some of my thoughts. And I appreciate you letting me talk this through and go over a little bit. And you say, well, Pastor Dan, we didn't really have any question, or we didn't have any, what do you call it, vote? In the matter. Well, as a family, I have something to bring to us, which is very grievous to my heart. Just because Tom and Michelle have been long-standing friends of mine, and my family have at one time got very close with them. Tom and Michelle Schaefer have decided to leave CCC. We grieve with you at this news. Several in the body have witnessed over the last several months outbursts of anger along with divisive language and actions. When given an opportunity to address these attitudes and behaviors, they declined, instead choosing to leave CCC. Peterson, in his introduction to James in the Message, writes, listen to this. Just as a hospital collects the sick under one roof and labels them as such, the church collects sinners. So Christian churches are not, as a rule, model communities of good behavior. They are rather places where human misbehavior is brought out in the open, faced, and dealt with. That's what the church is to be about. To spur one another on, to encourage one another. When we see sin in another's life, we remove the log out of our own eye. We humble ourselves. It's a humbling process to go to a brother and sister and say, I see this in your life. Help me to, let me come alongside you and walk you through this so that we can help you with this. If we can't do that with one another, then truly we are not becoming the church that Christ is raising up. When Tom and Michelle's sin was brought up to their attention, we grieve that they did not take the opportunity offered to face their disruptive attitudes and behaviors and enter into a time of healing and restoration through confession and forgiveness. Please pray for them. And when you see them, gently and graciously call them to repentance and love. We're asking you as the hands and arms of the church to help restore these ones. We were so longing that they would come in and we could even have a dialogue about it. And we have to look to our own hearts lest we think we stand when we're just about ready to fall. So, if anyone has any questions, please come and talk to one of the elders. If you just have other concerns or anything that you need to know about it. But once again, we're not playing church. And the goal is to become like Christ and to let him reign in this church. And we as elders, we don't lead perfectly, but one thing I know is that we want to keep Christ as head of this church because none of us want to have that headship. It's too much. So pray for us as we wrestle through these things and have to engage people on that level. Let me just close with Galatians. And down, he goes through the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another. That's not what we're talking about here. Envying one another. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, and who's that? Those who possess the Spirit of Christ. Those who are dealing with sin in their own life. You're qualified. Not that you're perfect. Don't read into that and say, well, I'm not what he's talking about, spiritual. We all have a part to play in this. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. If we can practice learning to go to one another when we see sin in one another's life, that is going to deepen our trust with one another if we don't become prideful. It will deepen our humility, and the attitude of Christ will continue to magnify itself here, and Christ will be glorified. So would you love one another when you see sin to address it? Because you care and love for that one? I challenge you with that this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it's obvious that you are building your church here. And we pray for our brother and sister who have chosen to leave rather than deal with the things that are pointed out to them. We pray, God, that lovingly they will not experience rest until they find it in you, until they find rest with your people. We pray that you would bring them back and that you would complete full restoration where forgiveness is offered freely. Lord, do it for your glory. Thank you for the testimony of so many that shared today about what they see you doing in this church. Would you guard us from becoming a church, Lord, that would ever become lukewarm? For some of us, will you rekindle afresh within our hearts the gifts that you've given to us? Some in here may need to have their love renewed for you. Whatever stage we might find ourselves, God, we're inviting you here. We want to participate in what you're doing. May revival come as a result. May your Spirit magnify the name of Christ in Granite Falls and the regions beyond. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I just want to encourage you to stay for second hour, which is really only like second half hour now because we went over over so much. Gives us an opportunity just to talk and to pray through various things that are happening. And, you know, get to practice being the body of Christ together. It's pretty cool. All right, you are dismissed. God bless you all.